You would please turn your Bibles to John, the 20th chapter. John chapter 20. In just a moment, we'll be reading verses 24 through 28. Appreciate very much your presence here. I want to pose a question to you this evening that I'd like to ask you to give some thought to, and it's just this. Why did Jesus bear scars? Why did Jesus bear scars? John chapter 20 and verse 24 tells us the story of one of the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He had appeared to his apostles prior to this. And Thomas had not been among them at that time. The other disciples, therefore, were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. What a stirring response to seeing this evidence that was placed at his disposal, that Thomas would simply say, my Lord and my God. And I suspect that in part at least is an answer to the question of why did Jesus bear scars? Why even after his resurrection, why did he have the scars upon his body? And it was, of course, as evidence of the fact that it was the same Jesus who had been hung upon the cross and whose body had been scarred through that experience. And it was the same Jesus who had been put into the tomb that was raised. This is no imposter. This is no one pretending to be Jesus. This is the same Jesus, and these scars were certainly proof of that fact. When you go on vacation, chances are you probably buy some souvenirs. Why do you do that? You say, well, I do it as a remembrance of the vacation. I do it to remember. Would you really not remember that you had been to this place or that? Well, of course not. You would remember that you had been there. But nonetheless, having those little souvenirs, and they may be very inexpensive, but having those little souvenirs still function as something of a reminder to us of where we've been, what we've done, of the experiences that we had in this place. And I don't mean to be trite in any way, but I'm certainly not calling the scars of Jesus souvenirs of his experience here, but they were reminders. He didn't need a reminder of what had happened, but they were reminders to his disciples of what had occurred, who he was, and an identification of who he was. They were a memorial, these scars. And they were memorials of at least three things. They were reminders of at least three things that these disciples needed to keep in their minds, and that you and I need to keep in our minds as well. The scars that Jesus bore in his body. remind us, first of all, that He is a God who suffers. You know, some people think the biggest question facing mankind is, why does God allow humans to suffer? And it's such a troubling question that for a lot of people, it just destroys it destroys their faith. I think you could probably talk to a lot of Jewish people who would express, as I've heard them express, a lack of belief in God for one reason, the Holocaust. If God would allow suffering on that level, to that degree, then He's just a God that I don't want to have anything to do with. Many times you may encounter the same thought among other people. It may be among believers that experience something in their lives. Maybe the little baby becomes ill and suffers terribly. Well, if God is going to allow my little baby to suffer, then I don't want to have anything to do with him. And so they just throw their hands up and they quit any kind of allegiance to God. That's a big question. Suffering and the place of suffering in the human experience. We're not going to talk about it tonight, but it's a big question. But I want to pose another question to you. One that I think is a bigger question that doesn't get considered very often by people who reflect upon the suffering that has occurred, human suffering that has occurred throughout history, and people who are facing in their families, terrible suffering. But I don't believe this question gets posed very often. And here it is. Why does God allow Himself to suffer? Why does God come down into our suffering? Why hasn't God just remained aloof and separate? And, you know, as men have suffered because of sin, and we have brought that upon ourselves, why didn't God just say, well, you know, I started them off, everything was perfect, and they fouled it up, and just their tough luck. Just let them deal with the consequences and the circumstances of their deeds. But that's not what He does. Why? Why does God come down into the midst of our suffering? And don't think that God doesn't suffer. If you turn your Bibles over to the book of Isaiah, for instance, the prophet Isaiah wanted to impress upon the minds of his people that their God suffered with them. They were suffering because of their sins. But God was not unaffected by their suffering. Isaiah chapter 42 and in verse 14. God says, I have kept silent for a long time. I have kept silent and restrained myself. Now like a woman in labor, I will groan. I will both gasp and pant. He's describing suffering. He's describing his own suffering on behalf of the people. You turn over to chapter 63. And again, Isaiah records in verse 9 that in all their affliction, he was afflicted. He goes on to describe his interceding for them to save them. But for our purposes tonight, We need to be impressed with that fact about God and how He dealt with His people, Israel, and how He deals with human beings. And that is that He allows Himself to be affected by suffering. And we need to ask ourselves the question, why? Why would God suffer and allow Himself to suffer on our behalf? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, we find where the Apostle Paul urges his brethren that they would be careful, that they would not grieve God, the Holy Spirit. Don't bring Him to grief. What does that mean? It means don't cause Him to suffer. We can, and we do. And the amazing question that we ought to pose to ourselves is not why does God allow humans to suffer, but why does God allow Himself to suffer? Why does He get into the midst of our suffering? One thing that the scars of Jesus tell us is that He is willing to be a suffering God. But now there's a second thing that I want you to think about. When you think about the scars of Jesus, not only that He is a God who suffers, but also that He is a sympathizing God. He is a God who sympathizes with us. And of course, there are many passages of Scripture that speak to this, but perhaps the one that would come to mind most quickly for a lot of people is found over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 15th verse, where the writer says there that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Now, read it carefully. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. That means we do have a high priest who can sympathize. One who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in our time of need. If you're a Christian, you have every reason to confidently, boldly approach God. You know why? Because you have a high priest who sympathizes, who understands, who has been tempted in all points as we are. Yet He has committed no sin, but nonetheless He is able to sympathize with us as we deal with sin. He knows our sorrow. He knows our experiences, and He understands them. The Bible says so many times in the course of describing Jesus' earthly life that He was moved with compassion. He was touched. He was affected by what He saw in the lives of men and women. And His scars tell us that He is moved in our regard and that He has acted on our behalf. You know, if His people, the people of Christ, cannot suffer with one another, if we cannot be moved to compassion with one another and for one another, then clearly there's something wrong. There's something drastically wrong with our faith and our commitment, our determination to live like our Lord. We're just not doing it if we lack that compassion. He sympathizes because He knows what our experiences are like. And we ought to have that quality for one another. We ought to be moved to the benefit of one another. When one member suffers, the other others suffer. Isn't that what happens in our physical bodies? You know what the worst pain there is? That's when you're at home doing the honeydews around the house, and you take that hammer and you hit that thumbnail. And I mean, you hit it hard and you hit it square, so much so, you know, that it's gonna turn black and it's gonna fall off. And you, well, I mean, it's the worst pain that there is. It's got to be worse than having a baby. And I wasn't there when you did it, but I can tell you what you did. First thing you did was you grabbed it. Well, why did that hand grab it? Well, it's because this thing's hurting. And in your body, when one member of your body is hurting, the rest are affected by it. First thing you did was you grabbed that thumb. I'll tell you the second thing you did. I wasn't there, but I'll tell you what you did. You stuck it in your mouth and you sucked it. And then the third thing that you did was you did that little dance around. Because it hurt. And still, the rest of your body responded. It wasn't, the rest of your body wasn't hurt, but it was touched. It was affected. And that's the way it needs to be with us. That's the way it was with the Lord. He sympathizes. He knows what it's like to be us. And that's what makes him the effective high priest that he is. But now there's a third thing that I want you to think about with me in regard to the scars of Jesus and what they reflect. We need to think about and always remember where he got the scars. Where was his body scarred so terribly? It was upon the cross. And in that, we see him as the saving God. He didn't have to do this. You know, I heard the other day about, you know, I'm sure many of you will remember Phil Donahue and a comment that he made one time when he was expressing he was raised as a Catholic, but he was expressing his dissatisfaction with his Catholic faith and expressing reasons why he had become disenchanted with religion in general. And he said this. He said, if God was so great and so powerful of God, why did he send his son to die? Why didn't he come himself? Why didn't he die himself? That's pretty bold. You know, it just doesn't accept the fact that Jesus had a say in all of this. Yes, it's true. The Bible speaks about the Father sending the Son, and Jesus, as we read this morning, talks about that the Father sent him. There's no question about that. That is part of the aspect of the Father's involvement in all of this. But I'll tell you what Phil Donahue doesn't permit. He doesn't permit Jesus a decision in all of this. He doesn't permit him a role to be willing to come, to be willing to put himself, as we talked about this morning when Jesus talked about, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down. I lay it down that I might take it up again. But He exercised a freedom of choice in his coming. He got the scars on the cross. We need to always remember that. Let me ask you this. If you would have just kind of imagined yourself in Hawaii on this perfect vacation. Everything is wonderful. You know, the weather is just perfect, and the sun is shining, and the waves are just breaking perfectly out there on the beach. And there just nothing could be any better. If back home, one of your children was injured in an accident, would you want the folks back home to call you and let you know? While you're in this perfect setting, everything's so wonderful. Would you want those folks back home to call you? Well, of course, the answer, I think, for all of us would be yes. Yes, tell me. I want to know. I love my child. I want to be there with my child. You wouldn't get upset when the phone rang and they told you about the accident and the injuries to your child. You wouldn't say to them, "Do you not realize that I'm here in this perfect setting and that I shouldn't be disturbed?" And of course you wouldn't do that because of your concern. And you would immediately go to your child's side. The scars of Jesus declare His love for us. His willingness to leave what was the perfect, truly perfect place and come to what was certainly an imperfect place. His willingness to experience the heartache, the hardships, the suffering, all grew out of the fact of His love for us, because He is a saving God. You know what a scar is? Very likely some of you have scars on your body. A scar is a wound that is healed. And you may have been scarred through the years in various ways. And they may not be physical scars, but they're just as real. But let me tell you, wounds heal. And Jesus heals the wounds that we suffer, that we have afflicted ourselves with, the wounds that we have brought upon ourselves, they can be turned into scars. They can be made to be healed. But only because He is a God who is a saving God and a sympathizing God and a suffering God. Would you allow Him to take the wounds of your life and to bring healing to them and to give you the opportunity to go on in life, to move on, to do something better with your life, to use your life in service to His Father? We pray that if it's your desire this evening to do that, then you would allow us to help you give your obedience to the gospel of Jesus. We encourage you to while we stand.